Dr. Clem Harris is an assistant professor in the Department of History at Utica College, where he teaches interdisciplinary courses in African American urban history, African diasporic history, and public affairs. Dr. Harris holds a PhD in history with a graduate certificate in urban studies and Africana studies received from the University of Pennsylvania in 2013. He has received fellowships for research in areas such as democracy, citizenship, and constitutionalism and Africana studies. His recent book manuscript for the University of Pennsylvania Press entitled Reconstructing Philadelphia, The Persistence of Racism and the African American Struggle for Political Leverage and Civil Rights, is a case study that examines the roles of electoral and protest politics in the struggle for racial equality in the urban North from the abolition era to the 1980s. His second book project is a historical analysis on the politics and the policies of Philadelphia's first two-term African-American mayor, W. Wilson Good Sr. Prior to earning his PhD, Harris worked as a high-level aide to the governor of New York, where his influence helped shape a host of social and economic reforms, including drug law reform, reform of New York City's racial profiling policy, economic justice initiatives such as the 2010 Business Diversification Act, the establishment of the state's first chief diversity officer, and the creation of the nation's strongest minority and women-owned business program. Dr. Harris, in our last segment, you were talking about the importance of young African-American people understanding their history. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? Why is that important?
Only through developing a very wide analysis rooted in histories that are not typical. In other words, to ask them to think about how different has the social relations to power rooted in race changed from the very first time that a person of from Africa stepped foot on the North American continent to the present. No one is going to direct you to me unless you have a type of interest, an intellectual curiosity.
Do you believe that the sheer knowledge of one's own cultural history is in some way a barrier or a hedge of protection or a defense against the multi-pronged onslaught of racism and classism and sexism that is constantly coming at the young person of color? Is sheer knowledge of one's own history, is that knowledge itself a protection against racism?
Well, I think it's not necessarily a protection against racism, because racism is about power. That history is, quite frankly, about knowledge of the power structures, right? It is about recognizing how to strategically identify these power structures and to think about them in strategic ways. Rather than to sort of see these power structures as a fait accompli, this is just the way that it is. No, it's not the way that it is. It is this way because of the power dynamic that has happened. And then to think about, where do Black people fit within this broader structure? Listen, one of the things in some of my seminars that, you know, teach seminars on Black politics, I say to them that one of the major challenges of being forcibly brought into Western systems and then having one's labor and body, quite frankly, plundered, is the realization that when freedom finally came, freedom came politically without the economic means to maintain it. Is that right. really freedom, right? I often teach that there's a dialectical relationship between, you know, the politics and economic power, right? You mm-hmm. can't have mm-hmm. one without the other, right?
Sure. Right.
And so why have Black people been so overwhelmingly in this country reliant upon having allies, particularly in the federal government, to help them is largely because the state and local governments still, to this very day, are willing to abridge the rights of Black citizens. Just listen to what the president said of four women of color, all of whom are citizens, right?
Right.
He just told
right.
them the... Right. And so this is a clear indication, right? Black people in not only in this country, but even when you think about the broader issue of global colonialism, freedom came after the dominant Western powers had extracted wealth and resources out of these countries, certainly on the continent of Africa and arguably in, the diaspora, they said, okay, well, you can now have freedom, but they don't have the economic means by which to maintain freedom. And, we see those countries today as emerging economies. Earlier, they were called third world countries. The third world countries were the former colonies of the first world countries. The countries were the colonial powers, right? The Western powers.
Right.
So this history is really very important because to understand how to have any type of strategic awareness of where you are, you have to understand from whence you've come.
We're in a two-party system. We have the Democratic Party and we have the Republican Party, the party of Reagan. So that's mm-hmm. always the view that I have of the Republican Party. But then we have the Democratic Party, and that is supposed to be the party that African Americans turn to address our needs, our issues, our struggles. But mm-hmm. in your article, you said something very interesting. So I'm going to quote you, and just have some patience with me. I'm going to read what mm-hmm. you said, and I really want you to answer this question. This is what you said: the Democratic Party will likely continue to fail because its strategies for outreach to the African American community were continued reliance on traditional modalities of Black leadership from the baby boomers, right? And so mm-hmm. they're not looking at the new generation, they're looking at the old generation.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, why is that? Why don't they look to the young millennials, the Black millennials, number one? Why are they looking back? Why aren't they looking forward? And what do we as Black people need to do to try to help, if we want to stay in the Democratic Party, help them address our needs?
So let me deal with the first question, the first part of that question. The first part of that question is because the Democratic Party is essentially relying on the heyday of the party, which was during the 1960s, right? It is
right.
relying on its heyday. And the Democratic Party historically, Lavonia, is doing pretty much the same thing that the Republican Party did in the early 20th century. The Republican Party in the early 20th century had already abandoned Black civil rights. It ended de jure segregation, right? But Black people were not the only ones to benefit from that. White women also benefited tremendously from that.
Right.
And so there is no policy that has sought to relieve, the systemic issues of racism that target Black people. No remedies have solely resulted in helping Black people to the exclusion of others. Quite the contrary. Helping Black people is the morally right thing to do, because in helping Black people, you help everyone as well.
Oh my goodness, Dr. Harris, we are out of time.